97.5, The Fanatic.
Good morning and welcome to the Green Zone Live from Rivers Casino, Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson, Pat Egan, here with you until noon, 610-632-0975. A lot to talk about. The action has arrived at Rivers Casino, Philadelphia. Everything you want, just the way you want it. Rivers Casino, Philadelphia, always on our game. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Pat Egan, myself, and your phone calls. A lot to get to today. We'll have Tuck on at 10:30 and 11:30, giving some gambling tips so everybody can be ready for their day in pro football. We'll get the... Right at the end of the show, they'll do the college football playoff and all that'll be set up. I know people will be gambling heavily on those games.
I think they already are.
And Sixers play Toronto tonight after Ben Simmons' best game as a pro last night. A lot going on. I don't even know where to start, Pat.
Yeah, it's the Ben Simmons game last night was unbelievable. I guess, can we start there?
Yes, of course we can start
there
with the Sixers.
Holy God, man, what got into Ben Simmons?
You know,
I know it's the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Right, but you're right.
But
he came, it was the attitude.
It was the, as Devon Givens always says, the aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons, which is so true. He was doing it all last night. He would have dropped 50 if they kept him in the game.
Yeah, making another corner three, a bunch of fallaway jump shots.
Love that.
He had 34 career high on 14 shots. Super efficient. He was also 9 of 12 from the foul line. And so that, and checked in every box that you want.
To me, the foul line is the biggest thing. I know people are going to focus on the three. Brett talked about the three after the game. But if he can just, and I said this at the beginning of the season, if he can just improve his foul shooting, it is going to be massive for this team. Because his ability to drive to the rim and create and get contact and draw contact, it's there. It's one of the assets to his game that he's always had. So if you add the fact that he can actually knock down his free throws... Look out.
It's gigantic. And he's had, the raw numbers aren't better, but he's had nights. He had a 7 for 7 recently. Then he followed up with like an 0 for 3 and an 0 for 4. So it ends up being 0 for 7 after. 9 and 12. It seems to be with him about this concentration thing. He hasn't liked the hack of Ben when people do that. He tends to make it. I think it's a concentration issue with the guy, which is odd. But whatever it is, last night was fantastic, and now that gives them a great opportunity, especially with the Eagles playing on Monday Night Football, which is why I didn't lead with it, because that all happens tomorrow night. If he could just follow that up tonight with the same level of aggression, Joel Embiid, he ended up spilling the beans in his post-game press conference, talking about Ben Simmons, that Embiid will be back tonight from the contusion.
No so, way.
Yeah, he was like, now I will say there was a point when they were turning the ball over 4,000 times against Washington where Ben Simmons had one. And Embiid did dive on the ground to get the ball because it was late in the game and it was trying to save a possession. And he did hit his hip pretty decent. So I would guess that he went to him and said, hey, my hip is sore. And then they're like, well, you weren't going to play anyway, because why would we play against the Cavs and Toronto back-to-back?
So now we don't have the load management tag that people hate.
It was the hip contusion.
Yeah, and the reality is, even now with Josh Richardson and Joel Embiid, you should be able, and they did, you should be able to hammer the Cavs. Yes. They were able to do that. Let me ask you, though, is there a cause for concern that it seems like Ben Simmons' best games come when Joel Embiid's out?
Because it's not true.
Okay.
Yeah, if you remember that suspension he had earlier in the year?
Yeah.
How'd he play against Phoenix when Embiid out?
Yeah, it wasn't great.
So that's what I'm saying. We
there
can pick.
Dispel the myth.
I think it's more just the opponent. You have a team with really small guards without a rim protector. Those teams will never, ever beat Ben Simmons.
Because I think initially when I'm watching the game, I'm like, is this have anything to do with the fact that Joel Embiid's out? And if it does, which you're saying it doesn't, which is, you know, I'll take your word for it. You do the Sixers Outsider Show, and I'm sure you guys talked about it at some point. But I'm sitting there watching the game going, all right, that's kind of cause for concern. But also at the same time, it might not be because he realizes, okay, I have to turn it on right here. I'm now the go-to guy, especially with Josh Richardson out and Joel Embiid out. You got two starters out. And I wish that he would have that mentality for 82 games in the playoffs. Because when he's playing like that, he's playing at an MVP level.
Yeah, against Phoenix with Joel Embiid out, he was 2 for 8. That was 25%. He had 7 steals, but he only scored a total without Joel Embiid in the game of 6 points.
Yeah, that's not ideal. That's not ideal. So we'll put to bed that myth.
No, I'm just saying we'll put it to bed. He that was without Joel Embiid. It's been a mixed bag with Joel Embiid out, but last night it was real.
Yeah, I mean, I can't stress it enough. The way that he just had all facets of the game on lockdown, you know, the jumpers, the three-point shooting, foul shooting. Defensively, I think he had 2 blocks. I think it was
2 blocks and 2 steals.
Yeah, like, and this was in 2.5 quarters.
Yes,
it's about 2.5 quarters.
He played 26 minutes.
I mean,
he did all that in 26 minutes.
He goes off for his new career high of 34 points. He was as dialed in as I've ever seen, and I think people forget that the fact that he's 23 years old. The sky's the limit. He's only going to get better. So if
I think he'll continue to get better.
We hope. I guess we hope. And we would assume, but you know what happens when you assume.
Yeah, no, he's just got it. He just has to do it more often.
And
that approach, it really doesn't matter. And here's another reason why I don't think it was because Joel Embiid was out. Because I believe if Joel Embiid had played, the 21 points that Mike Scott got, who started in this position, would have been Embiid's point. He would have played 22 minutes, and then Ben could have still got his.
That's a great point.
But he's got to have the same approach. But what you're dealing with tonight is they do have rim protectors. And in addition to the fact they have rim protectors, they do have taller people. Siakam and different guys to guard them.
Yeah.
So his approach has to be different, but he has to also still be willing to shoot the ball because that will lead to a Joel Embiid being double-teamed less. As good as Marc Gasol does, Embiid is double-teamed constantly when he plays against Toronto, and many times the man that is double-teaming him is whoever's supposed to be guarding Ben Simmons.
Yeah, and you know, Brett Brown's comments after the game about, I want him to take 1 three-pointer.
And 8 foul shots per game.
Which I think we'd all sign up for, right? I mean, yes. I don't care if you're making them or not. But it's making the defense think about the fact that they have to guard you on the perimeter to allow him to just freight train through the lane. I mean, it adds a total different dimension that we've talked about on this station quite a bit about him adding a foul shot, or a, I'm sorry, not a foul shot, a jump shot. But
yeah.
When you're actually seeing it happen, now I think to a lot of people it's not as frequently as they might have thought. But at least he's willing to do it. He gets in that corner and just catches and releases. Doesn't overthink it. Both three pointers.
They look good.
Yeah, both three pointers that he's taken have just been catch and shoot. It hasn't been a, you know, the whole crowd is begging him to shoot it, like right. A Markelle Fultz situation. No, he's just catching, shooting, boom, down the floor.
Yep, it's been matter of fact. Now, to looking it up, he's only had 3 games this year where he's taken 8 foul attempts. So that clearly means he needs to be more aggressive to get there. It's only been 3. Of course, one of them was last night. There was another game against the Knicks where he was 5-for-10. He had a 7-for-7 in the mix somewhere in there, too. But it's only been 3 games. So if he starts to average 8, obviously that'll be with him putting his foot on the pedal. And then maybe we then start questioning other people rather than just, why doesn't Ben Simmons do this? Maybe we start looking at other people because Ben becomes a lightning rod for criticism because of his passive play.
Yeah, I mean, it's I love the guy, but to some people, it's like Joel Embiid can do no wrong, Ben Simmons can do no right. I think it was the generational tag that he got when he came into the league. And when people, you know, you get your hopes up so high, and then when they don't live up to those expectations, all of a sudden you kind of blame them for it.
I think the other part is, though, no one understands his issue because it doesn't make sense. Embiid's issue is like, oh, he's trying to do too much on the basketball floor. People can understand that. I don't shoot. I don't understand that. Like, what fan understands that? It's much easier to wrap your mind around Joel Embiid's flaws than it is to wrap your mind around Ben Simmons' flaws, because Ben Simmons' flaws aren't normal basketball flaws.
Yeah, it's a confidence thing. It's strictly a, I don't want to get embarrassed. Luckily, though, I mean, look, he's taken 2 three-pointers. He's made both of them. I granted, it's only 2, but he's made both of them. He looked good doing it, too.
Yep.
So the confidence should be there, especially after last night. If he can add that fadeaway jumper to his game, I mean, sky's the limit. He's going to be close to unguardable at that point because he is, with his size and his just overall athletic ability, he's going to be tough. He's going to be really tough if he can consistently add that. And to Brett's point about the free throw percentage, I mean, as I said, his ability to drive the lane is unprecedented. So he'll be able to, if he can just get to the lane more, I like many fans, wish he would chill with the drive the lane and immediately stop about
six feet from the basket and kick out. Yeah.
Just put it up, man. So you can still have that, obviously, but he, if he can just consistently do that turnaround fadeaway, sign me up.
Yes, or just pull up when you have those. It all of that would be better. Now, we'll get to the Eagles. I'm going to call out some cowards today. But first, let's get to Sean in Lansdale. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic in the Green Zone, live from Rivers Casino, Philadelphia.
What's going on, guys? You guys doing a great job.
Thank you, Sean.
I want to call. I know it's kind of funny I'm calling the day after he has his best game, but in the summer when people will call and say, won't we Ben Simmons for, you know, Bradley Beal and whatever, it would just irritate me because for his whole career he's been compared to Magic Johnson. He's so young. He's got so much potential. Yes, does he still have a lot of work on? Yes. So does Joel Embiid. But why would we give up this talent that is so young and so good? Like, I don't know. I just love Ben Simmons so much. But I was calling to see you. Who do you guys think for the Sixers really needs to start stepping up off the bench? That's still an area I think we need to really work
on.
Well,
you saw him last night. Did you watch the game last night?
Yeah. Was he talking Mike Scott then? Or
yeah.
Yeah.
He's had a bad season.
Yeah.
He has to be a 3-and-D guy off the bench. Yeah, that's who needs to step up.
You know, and it's been masked by the hive, the Mike Scott love in this team, which is fine. And I think we all understand the fact that they'll probably add to this bench come the veteran buyout period. God, we hope so.
Or the trade deadline. Like, they're going to add, but it's first of all, a lot of players aren't even allowed to be traded yet. Like Kevin Love, for example, is on his way out.
Yeah.
He can't be traded for another week or so, a little more than a week. So no one adds in December because, first of all, no teams still fool themselves that they're in it. And second of all, there's somebody out there say, oh, you want Kevin Love? Give me 3 number 1s. And then somebody says no. And then you wait and go, okay,
you wait to the last moment.
And then you get them for 2 2s. So you're not going to make any trades now, but it's Mike Scott because Ennis has been good off the bench.
Yep.
So really, it's Mike Scott. And you know, Horford has been a good backup for Embiid the way they set things up. Richardson, when he's been healthy, has been good. It's Mike Scott that's been missing so far.
Yeah, and I think the love affair between this city and Mike Scott has kind of masked a little bit of the criticism for Mike Scott this season.
Yes.
Last night he has a great game. You hope he can build off of it. Granted, he's starting last night. He wasn't
smart by the coach, though. If a guy needs to get going, he could have went with Kyle O'Quinn, for example. Or he could have went small and played somebody else. Started Thibault, let's say, and put Tobias at the 4. But instead, he starts Mike Scott, leaves Tobias where he is, and he gets something out of him. So that's smart coaching by Brett.
I mean, yesterday was, I'm guessing have had this, and if we've played sports at any level, really, it's a confidence game. You're going up against a bad team, and you're like, all right, I'm going to go out there. I know it's a bad team, but I'm going to ball out, and I'm going to just get a little bit of confidence for me. We've probably all had, you know, if you're playing like the Bad News Bears of your little league baseball team, and you know, all right, 4 RBIs are coming for this game, and I'm gonna walk out of here pimp strutting it up. I mean, it's that's what last night was. But you still have to go out and do it. You still have to go out and win. And
yes,
the fact that you got confidence boosted with Mike Scott and Ben Simmons, that's huge for this team. That's huge because, as you said, he hasn't had a good season.
No
one's really talked about it
because of the hive.
Because he hasn't been great.
No, he had an 0-for-16 from 3 at one point, just randomly. Missed 16 straight three-pointers, and he doesn't do a lot else offensively other than shoot, which is fine. He's a 3-and-D type of guy. Gives you a good, hard professional foul. But he has to mix in. Has to mix in the three ball. And hopefully yesterday he was a 2-for-4. So I think, and now the key is just what can they do tonight against Toronto, where they're at a bit of a disadvantage because somehow the NBA schedule makers puts the Sixers on a back-to-back, and Toronto has not one but 2 straight days off, so they've just been chilling. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's at Chester High last night, giving people awards. I don't understand. Now, there's no excuse, but I just don't understand how one team has not 1 day off, 2 days off, and in the Sixers, you're coming off a back-to-back, so Ben Simmons and Tobias and Al Horford, all you guys got to play again tomorrow.
You think it was a situation of, all right, yeah, it's a back-to-back, but is it really because it's the Cavs?
It's still a back-to-back because
I agree
you had
with
to
you.
Come to the arena, you had to go to morning shoot-around.
Oh, I
get it. That's what I mean.
It's 100%
not,
agree with
not
you.
Not that the game was a hard game. If only, I don't think players would mind back-to-backs if they just had to play the game. You got to go to the morning shoot-around. You got to go get treatment. You got to show up. You got to do the. Then you go home, and then you're right back at it. And they go from a 7:30 game to a 6 o'clock game.
I hate 6 o'clock.
So you get less than a 24-hour turnaround. Meanwhile, Toronto's literally at the hotel or at the strip club or at Bet Rivers Casino.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Pascal Siakam was hitting the tables last night.
Not in the sports book, because that's illegal.
That's illegal. That's why he was hitting the tables.
The tables are legal. And Hyundai.
He definitely streamed the movie 21 on Netflix and then headed over to Bet Rivers and was like, I can do this.
Yes. Oh, real fast, I want to mention everybody, 610-632-0975, if you want to come out and see us. There is an incentive to come out. If you make a $200 bet, sports bet, at the new Bet Rivers Casino Sportsbook, you get a chance to win a all-expenses-paid trip to the Super Bowl.
That's huge.
Yes. So a lot of you are going to make a $200 bet anyway. If you want to bet big, I actually think the Eagles are going. I understand why people are afraid. I'm not saying. I think the Eagles are going to win tomorrow night.
I agree with you. I agree
with you. The Eagles
are
going to win tomorrow night. So if you were going to bet that game anyway, you come down in person. You make a $200 bet, and this includes airfare, your Super Bowl tickets, lodging, hotel, food vouchers, drink vouchers, the whole nine here tonight, here today if you come out and make a bet.
You know, you never knew who you're sitting next to in the Super Bowl. Like, you could be sitting next to Freddie Mitchell.
Yeah, he's there.
During the Eagles Super Bowl.
And he just shows up.
He just shows up and is hanging out with Justin Timberlake. You never know. But that's worth it right there. Like, if you're making a $150 bet, what's 50 bucks? Just put an extra 50 bucks on it, and you can win Super Bowl tickets.
And I would love to go. I went to the Eagles, and it's not in Minnesota.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest part. Even if the Eagles aren't in it, it's just a free vacation to a nice, warm place in February. I sign me up all day of the week for that. That's massive.
Absolutely.
You come home to the missus and say, "Hey, honey, you know how you wanted to, like, you know, maybe go to Florida or somewhere nice. All right, well, I just won Super Bowl tickets
early February. Oh, and it's cold here.
Oh, and we're not paying anything for it.
It's all free.
It's all courtesy of Bet Rivers.
Hard to beat that. Now, right, we'll get to a little bit more Eagles after Rob from Westchester, because we're going to get this question asked a lot between now and the trade deadline. And Rob, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic, in the Green Zone, live from Bet Rivers Casino.
Yeah, good morning. I've been hearing a lot about this, too, and you brought it up, so I figured I'd call. I don't understand where Kevin Love fits on this team. You know, I was actually watching him again yesterday.
He doesn't fit on. Who said anything about Kevin Love coming to this team?
Not on your show, but I've heard and read some things saying that it makes sense for the Sixers to pick him up. I agree with you. I was just wondering where people are getting this.
Well,
I think they're getting it from the fact that they recognize the name Kevin Love.
Right. Now, there are some ways in which he would fit under a certain circumstance, not a trade, but as a buyout candidate. It's one, because he can shoot the three ball. Therefore, he fits very well next to Joel Embiid. So in a scenario in which Al Horford's out of the game and you want to stay conventional, you want to stay big, you could have Kevin Love come in the game and he can provide space for Joel Embiid because he does shoot the three ball. That's where you at. That would only be in a buyout. When it comes to making a trade, you would have to trade $27 million worth of contracts out to get him. There's no way to make that happen. But in a buyout situation in which you get him for free, he absolutely, coming off the bench, would be better than some other guys, because he could back up the 4 and the 5 and he can make a 3-ball. There are ways he makes sense. It's just not real realistic ways to get him.
On a team predicated with defense, though,
yes.
Unless you have very limited minutes with Love, on a team predicated with defense, when you bring him in and he plays no defense.
Neither does Korkmaz. You hide one. You can hide one. They have the number three defense. They have the number three defense in the NBA, and Korkmaz has started half the games. You can hide one. So the question is, could you hide Kevin Love as well as you could hide Korkmaz? The answer is probably yes, in a scenario in which you only buy him out and don't give up anything for him.
That's all I'm saying. Korkmaz fakes it, at least. He's putting in the effort.
Stop!
Wait, he puts in the effort.
Stop! This is what I mean with these Korkmaz.
They all put in the effort.
Right. I'm not. Now, note what I said, that he makes no sense in a trade. in a buy.
Cleveland, yeah, I would take him for free.
That, exactly.
For free, if he wants to come on a veteran minimum, sign me up all day.
That's what I mean. In that scenario, this is how he fits. He was asking a question of how he fits. This is how. It gets to February. No one else is traded for Kevin Love. Cleveland buys him out for whatever reason. And the Sixers go, okay, you come in, and then what can he do right now still? He doesn't move very well. We know that. Neither does Korkmaz. So the question is, J.J. Redick, you can, in the NBA, when you have five guys, you can hide one bad defender. You cannot hide two. Hence why you couldn't have a situation where Korkmaz and J.J., for example, could play together. Would be a disaster. It's part of the reason why down there, in where
every single guard would go off for career eyes.
Right, where J.J. is right now, you couldn't play Okafor. For a while, they were trying to start J.J. Redick and Okafor down there. They said, nope, Okafor, you have to go. We're going to put Derek Favors in the center because he actually plays defense, because J.J. doesn't. But you can hide with a scheme one player. So you get to a playoff game against the Bucks. And off the bench, you have Brook Lopez for them, bombing away from threes because he shoots a bunch of threes. You bring Kevin Love into a hypothetical game, playing next to Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid goes to post up, and he has tons of room. Why does he have tons of room? Because Kevin Love can legitimately make a three-pointer still. That's all I'm saying. That's where it goes.
I think it was pretty cut and dry, but
that's all it is.
I don't get the logic of, well, this guy tries. This guy tries hard. Okay.
No.
All right. Is that our bar? Just try hard?
Right. And let me be honest with yourself. He's a veteran. Remember, we've worked shifts in this business with people who, well, they're not great.
Yeah.
You still try.
I'm standing right here, man.
But do you go? What I'm saying is that he's playing with a bunch of scrubs.
Yeah.
He knows he can't win, and he knows that he's going to be moved. It's not a matter of when. I mean, of if. It's just a matter of when. And you're getting your brains beat out by 40. I don't know how you react as a veteran player. When you look around, you go, this guy can't play. That guy's too young. This guy can't play. That guy's 19.
Yeah, the motivation is probably not there, especially when you – if I'm Kevin Love, I'm literally just going back and I have like a DVD of highlights of me and LeBron playing together.
Right, remember this
and just remembering the good times.
Yeah.
It's a lot like how Eagles fans right now are probably just remembering the good times of the Super Bowl run.
Oh. Look at you bringing that up. Now, the phone number, 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We'll get into the Eagles a little bit more on the other side because I want to call out some cowards. And I am talking to you, coward. Tyrone Johnson, Pat Egan, live from Bet Rivers Casino on the Green Zone. We'll be back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Ooh. Tyrone Johnson, Pat Egan, 97.5, The Fanatic. The action has arrived at Rivers Casino Philadelphia. Everything you want, just the way you want it. Rivers Casino Philadelphia, always on our game. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLERS. We broadcast live from the beautiful new sports book here at Rivers Casino, Philadelphia.
You could see that TV that they have in here from 95.
Yes, so the one you're referring to, we're kind of behind it right now. So if it's an Eagles game, that whole 100-inch TV just is on one game. But they can make it on a March Madness type of situation or with the bowl games coming up, because they'll be starting pretty soon in another couple weeks. Each one of those can be a screen.
Yeah.
They have the option for both. It's ridiculous. And look at the leather chairs.
Yeah, the chair. I mean, you're literally, it's a better situated setup than I have in my house. Tell you that right now.
Absolutely. And then they have some taps and a bar right there. Other TVs to the left and the right. nice security so you feel safe. It really has everything you can want. This is beautiful.
They had the tellers, they had the automated kiosks. I've my eye on the automated kiosks, and they've been jam-packed since we've gotten here.
It's 9:30 in the a.m.
Yeah, so, and I mean, it's one opens up and immediately it's taken, so.
Yes, now I have some details, Pat. They dropped off some more details for the biggest biggest game of the year.
Okay.
All right. Now remember, $200 bet on any pro football game now through January 7th, and you get an entry into the big game drawing. Now this is what it includes, because the winner will be selected on January 8th. You get a 3-night stay, you know, Super Bowl's in Miami, at the Ritz-Carlton.
What?
Yes, the Ritz-Carlton. You get three nights stay.
So you're not staying in some like shady motel.
No,
you're staying at like the creme de la creme.
That's right.
Where the continental breakfast is legit.
Right.
It's not just Special K and an apple.
Yep. No, somebody you can do the banana in the tailpipe. from that.
From Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, because it's that the fruit setup is that nice. You get 2 official tickets to the big game. You get a Friday night welcome party. Yes, because you get Friday night, you get Saturday night, you get Sunday night.
I've never had a welcome party.
Yep. You get official pregame party with live entertainment, celebrity appearances, and complimentary food and drinks. It's all on Rivers Casino. You get commemorative souvenirs, and you get transportation, making it clear, including the airfare to and from the big game. So you will get from the Ritz-Carlton to the arena. You'll get from the Ritz-Carlton to the parties. And, of course, they'll fly you down.
So that's 3 days that you're not spending any money.
No money.
And in 3 days, a lot of people already spend $200.
Yep.
So you might as well come down, place a bet, probably win that bet.
Yep. Because
you're not a fool. And then
also,
if you win this thing, you're not spending money for 3 days.
Absolutely. And I see right now where they're going to pick it from. We can see it right to our right where the entries go for the big, big game party. So I'm excited about it. Now, speaking of football.
Can we enter?
Yes. Yes, we can.
We can? Okay.
Yeah, because it is at random and we're not an employee.
I'll be telling coach that I will be away those 3 days.
There you go. 610-632-0975. Now, but speaking of football, we're going to get back to the Sixers and what you think about them, and we'll get back to that in just 1 second. I think the Eagles are going to win the game. We'll be doing the Green Zone tomorrow night during the game. Do you agree with me?
I do. I'm less confident now that they have Eli Manning under center.
See, I'm more confident.
Yeah, I'm less.
Yeah, so you're one of the people I'm talking about that's a coward.
Yeah, I think we already knew that.
This is why I'm saying that. Eli Manning is worse than Fitzpatrick as a quarterback. He just is. He never beats the Eagles in Philadelphia. It's going to be driving rain. If the Eagles lose the game, it'll be because the Eagles stink. It will not be because Eli Manning has something to prove. It will not be because Eli Manning is good in any way, shape, or form. It will not be because Eli Manning is anything. It'll just be because the Eagles stink.
Well, Ty, and just one more time. Tell me why they would lose that game.
Because the Eagles would stink.
Ty, the Eagles do stink.
Fine.
They suck, man.
That's different.
They're not good.
What I don't like is
they're a bad football team.
I'm fine with that. What I can't live with is Eli Manning is good now because he's going to get off the mat. He stinks. Stunk before. At his best, he stunk at Philadelphia. He will continue to stink at Philadelphia. I cannot have people saying the reason the Eagles are going to lose is because of Eli Manning. If you want to say they'll lose because they stink, they'll lose because they stink.
I don't think it's just Eli Manning. I think it's Evan Ingram. I think it's the weapons are getting back.
Barkley is not 100% and won't be 100% for the rest of the year.
I mean, nobody's 100% at this point.
No. I mean, if you look at him, he's taken a step back this year, and he didn't get worse. He's taken a step back because he's not healthy.
What, did he take a step back because every team knows you need to stop Saquon Barkley?
No, remember, he missed games earlier in the year with that high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
That did not heal. They rushed him back because that coach is coaching for his job.
Yeah, good luck with that. He's coaching for his job.
No, he is. That's why they switched. And that's another reason why I know Eli stinks. He honestly thought he's not developing Daniel Jones for the future. He looked at it and said, we have a better chance to win with Daniel Jones than Eli Manning, because I'm about to get fired, and it could be Matt Rhule, most likely, taking this job.
I hope not. As a Temple guy, I really hope not.
Well,
look, it's not so much that I think Eli Manning is going to come in and
he will not do what Fitzpatrick just did.
And be Fitzpatrick or
he will not be.
Nick Foles all of a sudden and have something to prove and all that crap, because Eli Manning knows
that his time in New York. Oh, and Evan Ingram's out.
I thought he was in.
He's out.
What happened to him being in?
There's a reason the Eagles are 9.5-point favorites. The line moved.
He was in at one point, and now he's out.
Now I got to dig in. I got to find out why.
Oh, Eagles by 100.
No, it limits their weapons. I honestly think...
I swear to God, I thought he was in. What happened?
He's out. Him and Daniel Jones ruled out.
All right, well, that changes things a bit.
Ruled out. Bit. That limits... So now, 8 or more in the box, and unlike even Miami, they don't have one receiver that could just beat you.
They don't.
Because Golden Tate's playing out of the slot, so it's hard for him to get the deep plays the way that Parker was able to. One-on-one, because he spends so much time in the middle of the field where it's compressed. That doesn't mean he won't have 15 catches. It means he won't have the 40 and 50-yard plays because it's just not really the big chunk slot. Plays. Right.
My issue, though, with Eli isn't necessarily I think he's going to light the world on fire.
This is 4 straight game. Foot injury.
I don't know where I saw that he was back in.
They said that he was headed that way.
Wait, this is an Alshon situation?
No.
He's trending in the right direction all of a sudden?
But,
no, he's not?
It's tough with feet. We have Pro Football Doc on, just as a quick aside. He says a lot of times with foot injuries, you should not give a timetable. Because whatever they do to fix them, you can go from 0 to 90 in a week. And then get from 90 to 100 could take 8 months.
Yeah, ask AJ Green.
Ask Kevin Durant that one year where he had a screw put in his foot. He rushed back and he bit the screw. Like they say with foot injuries, you just don't know. And they'll say, oh, it's headed that way, headed that way, headed that way. Oh, wait. And all of a sudden, for whatever reason, it stops healing right before you would be clear. And you're not clear till you're cleared.
All right. That makes sense.
So this is his 4th straight game out.
That makes sense.
What you're dealing with is Golden Tate in the slot, good player, not explosive player. Sterling Shepard, who's also a slot receiver, who they have playing outside, kind of out of force. And as Saquon Barkley, who is just not has they who came back 2 weeks too soon from a high ankle sprain and just hasn't been right since.
Yeah, I mean, look, my whole thing with the game is you're not facing a rookie quarterback, and I like Jim Schwartz against a rookie quarterback better than a veteran quarterback.
I can go with that.
And I don't think he's going to go out there and throw for 500 yards and 5 touchdowns and regain his job. In a way, he is playing for not his job with the Giants next season because they've moved on, but with somebody else who probably will pay him. Also, we've seen Eli Manning at times get hot. We've seen really bad Eli Manning is great, but we've also seen Eli Manning that's been very, very good, hot Eli Manning.
I haven't seen that against the Eagles in Philadelphia ever. I've never seen it. In Philadelphia.
I'd have to go back.
It's a house of horrors for him.
I'd have to go back and look at the game logs, which I'll do during the break. But we'll know pretty early on what kind of game it's going to be with Eli Manning. Because it's not like he's a slow starter or anything like that. He's either good or he's terrible. So I'm looking at a team that just lost to Miami. I can't be confident in really anything.
He's 7-11 in Philadelphia.
Yeah, but I need to know how he did in Philadelphia. Not just the record.
I'm looking.
He can play stellar, but all of a sudden, you know,
I'm looking at his game log in Philadelphia.
What's it look like?
All right, let's go to year 2 in Philadelphia. This is in 2005, so this is a long time ago.
It was a good year.
Okay, they won 26-13.
Okay,
he had 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions.
They won the game.
Let's look at 2006 at Philadelphia. He won 30-14. So this is 2000. This is a very long 2006. Perhaps we should only go back 10 years. Is that fair?
Yeah, okay. All right, let's do
that. Let's go 2009 forward.
Yeah.
How about that?
Okay.
At Philadelphia, they lose 40-17, 1 interception, 2 picks.
Okay, not
That's
great.
2009. 2010 at Philadelphia, they lose 27-17. 2 interceptions, 3 picks.
Okay, not great.
2011 at Philadelphia, they win 29-16. He had a good game that game. 4 touchdowns, 0 picks in that particular game. 2011. So that's the that's dream team year for the Eagles. Well, I'm just trying to get.
Well, but this context. Year's gone about as well as the dream team year.
Yeah. Okay. In some ways, this is better.
I mean, some.
In some ways.
Some. I mean, we don't have guys eating lunch in their cars.
2012. Lost 19-17. Two touchdowns, one pick, another loss.
It's not too bad.
2013. I mean, I'm saying the Giants, he lost.
Yeah, he lost, but I'm saying
and they scored 17 points.
Stats-wise, it's not awful.
All right. 15-7 win in 2013. No touchdowns, no interceptions. 15-7, that was.
Yeah, that's a bad game for everybody involved.
2014, he loses 27-0. No touchdowns, no picks.
Wait, no touchdowns in a 27-0 game?
27-0 game.
Okay, all right.
And no picks, I'm talking about.
All right, well, hey, you know, he's a game manager.
All right, he loses in 2015, 27-7. One touchdown, two picks in that game. 2016, he loses 24-19 against a rookie Carson Wentz.
I think that was on Sunday Night Football.
It was. I remember that. 21 touchdown, three picks in that game. 2017, he loses 27-24. He threw two picks in that game. 2018, he loses 25-22. And he throws a pick in that game.
Look, man, my problem with you is you come at this show with stats.
I didn't. God, wait, look them up. I'm looking them up in real time.
You show up with your stupid facts.
No.
It ruins my rhetoric.
Everything that you said about the Eagles stinking, I agree with. I want to say that out. Like, I'm not making it clear that I agree with you that I think they stink.
Yeah, they're terrible.
This is where I disagree with you. That Eli is not going to be the reason the Eagles lose. It'll be because Carson, no. It'll be because whoever's playing wide, because they just cut a starter.
Yeah.
In Mac Hollins. Whoever's playing wide receiver.
We used to assume we're starter loosely, by the
what
way.
What I mean is he did.
Yeah, like, he actually
Eagles
was out
the
there.
Only team still cutting starters.
Every single week.
They're cutting another star.
They're sending messages.
Like, 610-632-0975. Are you as afraid as Pat Egan?
Whoa.
No. Are you afraid?
You got me hiding under a table over here.
He's hiding a table with a microphone right now here, live. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson, Pat Egan for the Greaso, live from Rivers Casino. We'll be back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the Green Zone, Tyrone Johnson. Pat Egan live from Rivers Casino, Philadelphia, in the sports book, brand new, beautiful sports book. The action has arrived at Rivers Casino, Philadelphia. Everything you want, just the way you want it. Rivers Casino, Philadelphia. Always on our game. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, 610-632-0975. And I got to say, speaking of ways to win, we got our prize team here. You can win a trip to the trip and tickets to the big game. And we have the Fanatic Holiday Wheel coming back this year.
I can't wait for that.
We'll be spinning the Holiday Wheel three times a day. It'll be with the morning show at 8 a.m., Anthony Gargano at 1 p.m., and Mike Missanelli's show at 5 p.m. You have a chance to win amazing prizes. Go to the contest page right now at 975thefanatic.com to register now for your chance to become a Holiday Wheel contestant. The wheel starts spinning on December 16th. That is 1 week from tomorrow.
The Holiday Wheel, if you're unfamiliar with it, there are some really good prizes on that thing.
Fantastic prizes. You're absolutely right about that. Fantastic prizes.
It's not like Eli Manning starting as your opponent. That's now, not one of the prizes that you love.
So
I'm not a huge fan.
Josh did some digging on some stats.
Yeah, what's he doing working hard at?
Yeah, see, there you go.
45.
This guy works hard, Josh. Good. Now, Eli Manning against the Eagles. 22 touchdowns, 19 picks. Eli Manning in every other game of his career, 314 touchdowns and 222 picks. His ratio against the Eagles is far worse. The Eagles, if they, first of all, the Eagles are going to win the game.
I think they win the game as well.
I think for two reasons. One, I think it was finally the coach did something smart by putting them in the pads, not because this magical thing of, oh, they forgot how to tackle, oh, they forgot how to hit. It was more about if you're putting the pads on, clearly there's more of a sense of urgency.
Yeah, get some nasty in this team a little bit. I mean,
right.
And look, the reality is they, like us, the fans, thought, okay, Miami Dolphins, it's only a matter of how much you beat them by.
They got up 28-14 and thought, they took the foot off the gas because they relaxed.
I mean, me and you were kicking back in the green zone, just loving life, and all of a sudden, I mean, in my personal opinion, is the game changed when Zach Ertz failed to catch the ball and move upfield in a possible touchdown situation. Carson gets sacked the next play.
Right, that,
and
that could be 35.
Yeah.
Right there. And then the game probably is over.
Yeah, and at that point, they just want to pack it up and go home. You allow them to stay in the game. You would hope that this is the straw that breaks the camel's back into making these guys realize there are no more losses they can occur.
I think Dallas losing helps. Now, I know they'll say, oh, well, they lost to Buffalo. Here's the other problem. They knew that, unfortunately, once Dallas lost, they didn't need the Miami game. It actually had nothing. Had they won, it would do them no favor. It would not help them one way or the other in the standings. Now they know they have to win out. And all they have to do, note that we are at a casino, and we do expect you to bet. Perhaps you bet the Eagles on the money line at either PlaySugarHouse.com or live here at Rivers Casino, that they just have to win the game. They don't have to cover the 9.5. They just have to win by one in their mind. They win 21-20. That's a win. You go on to Washington, you win. You go on there and play Dallas, you win. And you win a division. It's kind of simple at this point.
Yeah, I think that's what I'll probably be doing is the money line situation, because it's not necessarily that I'm terrified of Eli Manning. I'm not waking up in a cold sweat at night. Just him, you know, my wife shaking me, going, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And I go, "Eli Manning's back." It's not that. It's more of, this is a bad football team, and you're playing a veteran quarterback. Just not a huge fan of it. As much as I would have been had Daniel Jones were to be starting. Now, I think they win the game no matter who is starting, because this is a bad football team playing a very bad football team. This is not an ideal Monday Night Football game for ESPN. I don't think they're happy about this matchup. But I would like the matchup a little bit more had Daniel Jones started. But it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, I think it's going to stop the Eagles from winning this football game. You would hope that they would finally realize that there is a huge sense of urgency. Now, what concerns me is that Doug Peterson, who needs to actually think about what he says before he actually says it.
He was terrible this week.
He's always terrible. He digs himself into a hole with his words, and then he doesn't even realize it. But he says, well, you know, this week's a must-win. I mean, last week was a must-win. Actually, coming out of the bye week was a must-win. So basically, the last 3 weeks have been must-wins. We kind of all knew that, and they haven't won.
Right.
It's like, all right, well, the thing about a must-win is that you actually have to win.
Right.
Because it's the must part.
Yeah, it's not a maybe win or should win.
Kind of win. Hey, don't worry about it. If you win, great. No, it's a must win.
I also think where another reason the Eagles have a bit of an advantage is they have not completely quit on the coach yet. And unlike in Dallas, and I believe unlike with the Giants, who I think they have pretty much quit on this particular coach.
Yeah, they want him out.
They don't. No. Doug's not doing a good job, but they haven't completely bailed on Doug the way that both the Giants and the Cowboys have bailed on their coach. And all I'm saying is they can win the game.
Yeah.
And then they can beat Washington because that owner's an idiot and meddles, and they don't know what they're doing there.
Well, I don't think Bill Callahan's a good coach either.
Exactly. And then you get, okay, you play Dallas, and that's it. And that game's at home. That's where I'm at. Note that I'm not saying anything about the Eagles being good. What I'm saying is that I think at this point the Giants are in a worse situation. And here's another thing. The Dolphins have not quit on their coach. The organization is trying to lose, but that coach, they like and respect that coach. They do not like and respect the next three opponents. No, the rest of the season, the Eagles will not play another team in which the players have any toleration for their coach.
Yeah.
Which is Giants twice, Washington and Dallas. And at least you can say about Miami is those players love that coach because that coach tries stuff. That dumb play that worked.
Oh, I loved it.
If
I was a player?
Exactly.
If I'm a player, I love that. It's like, all right, you realize that this... I mean, because if you're a player on the Miami Dolphins, you've got to be taking the fact that they're tanking as a huge slight.
Right.
You've got to be like, whoa, you're taking them.
We're too good for this. And then they go out and win and ruin it because they've already won three times. And meanwhile, Cincinnati's sitting there going, I don't know about y'all, but we're not winning again this year.
Exactly.
I don't know about y'all.
Exactly. So you're right. I mean, they were playing for their coach. And you look at Dallas, they're completely checked out of Jason Garrett. They want him gone. The most beautiful part is the fact that the report that if the Giants move on for Pat Shurmur, which is probably likely, they'll be interested in Jason Garrett. So to keep that guy in the division, I mean, clapping it up.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Now, Doug will sit there and go, you look at me. And this is what I can say. You know, I was very critical on the Mike Missanelli show of Doug, and you know we've been critical of Doug. Probably still the best coach in the division.
You know, and I said that this past week during the midday show with Gargano that, shockingly, you look at this division, you've got Jason Garrett who claps it up with an amazing roster and can't win. Just clap it up for Jason Garrett. You've got Pat Shurmur, who's never been a good head coach, ever. And then you've got Bill Callahan, who decided to, during the biggest game of his career, use the same playbook as his opponent had the year before.
Same audibles and same verbiage.
And think that he just wouldn't notice. I mean, as shocking as it is, the Eagles are actually the best coach team in this division. That tells you how bad this division is, though.
And that is why... I think, and we're going to take more calls on in the 10 o'clock hour, 11 o'clock hour, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. I believe the Eagles will win on Monday, and I still believe the Eagles have a realistic chance, not a phony pie in the sky, a realistic chance to win this division because, not because they're good, but because other teams are worse. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson, Pat Egan, live on the Green Zone from Rivers Casino, Philadelphia. We'll be back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.